So today I'm going to talk about Catan, something about Catan. There are many type of Catan seen in binary system, and some of them as shown in the previous talk. But the Catan I'm going to talk about was observed some years ago by Japanese researchers, but hasn't been discussed very much, I think, so far. So that is the drawing pattern. And these are my collaborator. I guess I have to put.
Yeah, they're here
so that you can, your comments can be immortalized. Okay. So these are my collaborators. The first one is my ex graduate student. He was already graduated. And the second one is my ex research associate. He is now in Hokkaido University. And the third one is my current graduate student, Kyushu University. So the experiment, this shows the experiment setup. It's very simple. And we prepared a mixture of powder and water and sandwiches in the two glass plate. And sometimes you use the spacer, and the space between the two glass plates may be controlled by spacers or just set by the largest size of the grain, which is about 30 or 50 micrometers. So the system is quasi two-dimensional. And these are more kitchen experiment we have done. These are cornstarch in the Japanese language. You can buy in the supermarket. And then you mix it with water in the plate, and then put in between the two plates, and leave it one night. Then what you get is something like this. And it's a little bit dirty experiment, but you can see very interesting pattern. If you do it more controlled way, you see something like this. The pattern, it's the black and white is embodied from the previous picture. And this is the white part is the cornstarch left over after drying. But it's in here, black part is cornstarch, and white part are open spaces. And these are experiment for different powder content. And as you increase the powder, you have more thicker pattern. And one thing. These are very interesting pattern you can see, and you may have seen some places already. And one of the characteristics you may notice is this pattern is very uniform and isotropic, and you can you don't see any clear boundary effect, or you don't see any apparent directionality. So. And other thing is that the size length scale pattern is not strongly dependent on the powder content. It gets thicker, but doesn't change very much the scale. So if you look at the drying pond, the dry pattern, the drying pond. This part is still wet, and air coming into this region, and as the air come into the wet part, the boundary sweep the powder and makes this pattern. So the interface looks smooth, smooth if you compare the time with the length scale of the granular size. But you see some cusps, which may be produced by the larger grain, which was sandwiched, which is pinned by the two glass plates. And this cartoon is to show how the grains are stripped away by in the drying process. So the granules are trapped by the interface due to the interface tension. Looks like this. So the basic.
What is the sizes you may have already said?
Size of the grain?
Yeah.
It's about tens of microns. Will be largest size of the grain 30 or 50 micron, which set the space of the gap of the plate.
And the density is?
Well, it's cornstarch. Density means what? It's a.
Is it like water or twice or? Is the density matched or?
No, not at all. So it's heavier than water. It's not much, but it's just cornstarch.
And last,
are they charged? It's a wet material, so it's charged, but the electrostatic force is not a major factor. It's a hydrodynamic interface tension. It's much larger than that. So the basic pattern is, we believe, not complicated, but as the water dry up, the volume, it's a volume shrink by evaporation. So the interface retreat because the volume decreases, and the granules are swept away by the interface tension. And as the granules swept and accumulated, it gives the resistance of the interface motion. And the flat interface moving, as the flat interface moved, the fluctuation made the flat interface unstable, so the interface become corrugated. And there are some pinning effects seems to be important, but to make the pattern. So for this simple phenomena, we tried three models. The first is so-called phase field model, and second is invasion population model based on invasion population, and the third we tried to write down the boundary dynamics. Since I don't want to spend too much time, I mainly explain the phase field model, and the rest I just may skip or may discuss shortly. There are a couple other interface dynamics which are well known in physics community. The one is the viscous fingering, which is known as to show the Sackmann-Taylor instability, and the second was crystal growth. And the sweeping dynamics I'm going to discuss is closely related to these, but a different limit we are looking at. So sweeping, as the volume shrink, the boundary try to move. As the boundary move, material accumulate along the boundary, and then eventually it gets stuck. But if the boundary of this type of one-dimensional path, then the accumulation doesn't accumulate up. So it's kind of motion is possible. So the phase field model is given like this. We introduce two field variables. One is called phase field, and the other is called granular density. And phase field is introduced in order to simulate the boundary motion, just boundary motion. And then this equation is just given by the so-called time-dependent Ginzburg-Landau equation with a double well potential. So, and then it has, the field has two stable points. One is wet and the other is dry region, and we assign U equal 1 wet region and U equal 0 dry region. So let me explain a bit more interface motion and describe like this. It's the phase field motion is easy to understand. To is we assume just a free energy potential like this, and this is a time, as I said, time dependent Ginzburg-Landau equation. And if we parameterize the potential like this, if we have V positive V, and then dry phase is more stable, so the boundary move to expand the dry region. And the flat interface is described by tangent hyperbolic, and the speed of the motion, the interface motion, is proportional to B, the simple solution. And then we try to simulate the boundary motion, and as the boundary accumulate the granule interface becomes slow. The interface motion becomes slow. So the if we simulate the such mechanism, the B is a decreasing, we assume B is a decreasing function of granule density.
What force makes the polygon move?
Interface tension. And the boundary is moved because of evaporation, and evaporation makes the volume shrink. And then there's a gap between the pressure between inside and outside the wet water.
So then surface tension, yeah?
Surface tension.
Yeah. There's a very similar effect which has been described a bit, which is this drying of the top.
Drying the what?
If you have a drop of coffee on the table,
And there are various type of drying patterns discussed. And one is, as you said, it's if you don't have a glass plate and open air, then some droplet, some droplets like, and it shrinks. So it makes different pattern. Right? And in this case, I think that some ring pattern.
But the mechanism is the same, yeah? The water evaporates and pulls the coffee to the border, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mechanism that the particles are driven as the same. Mm-hmm. But the configuration is a little different. It's sandwiched between the two. So that makes the pattern very uniform in this case.
And the evaporation is put in here by having the free energy for U equal to 0 below and then for U equal to 1. Right?
In this case.
So, yeah, so it sort of in favors the U equal to 0.
Just the phase field is just introduced to simulate the boundary motion. It doesn't require to any physical mechanism after evaporation. So granular motion. The granule is something you don't doesn't evaporate at all. So it's called a continuum equation, equation of continuity, and the J is the flux of the the particle flux. And we have two parts. We introduce two parts of the flux. The first part is the flux driven by the interface. And it's proportional to the granular density itself, and the proportionality constant is something like mobility. Since it's driven by the interface, we like to have it the gradient, proportional to gradient of the base view, and this coefficient is something like mobility of the gradient.
I don't understand the brackets there. Is the gradient acting on the mu as well?
Only this gradient acting only this part. So it's perpendicular to the.
Why is the nu separate to the
a nu? Nu is the density.
But why do you have that and a nu?
So this part you can see is a velocity.
Okay.
So the flux. And then this is a mobility constant. Mobility. So the constant A should present some resistive nature. So we assume that the A is a decreasing function of B again.
Maybe fusion is
well, in experiment it's not thermal. The granular is very large. So it's a move. The motivation we introduced this time is not the physically motivated, because first we started with this part only, but as you simulate, it's developed the same singularity because of it's a virus type singularity, or it's developed because it's something like this soft like, and it's very difficult to simulate. So we need some diffusion, and it's to regularize this. And it is not, we believe it is not completely unphysical to introduce some kind of a diffusion, because it's the particle-driven interface. So we introduce some diffusion term only within the interface, not inside or outside. But again, this term is not completely motivated by the physical processor.
Why not? I mean, what you say is that these micro heap that you have close to your interface is also, not so unphysical. Huh?
Not unphysical, but motivated by the observation. Because if you look at the experiment, what is happening is much more complicated, because it's, as the interface is moving, I wish I could show the movie of the experiment, but I'm not the experimentalist. So it's as the interface moves, there is a water flow driven, and in some cases the flow drives the grain inside, and it's a much more complicated thing. So we try to simplify the mechanism. So if you try to be really realistic, you need to introduce some hydrodynamic. I don't like motion or something like that. So, but anyway, we introduced this term, and then we believe it's not completely unphysical, but it's not physically motivated. Anyway, without this term, it's a singular behavior will develop, and numerically difficult.
In some sense, you need to get the grain size into the picture, right? I mean, the singularity is formed because there's sort of no small length scale.
In this type of continuum theory, there's no such problem, so we need to introduce some in some way or the other.
The same coefficient could be tailored so that you get a grain size or the smallest length scale.
I think so. I mean, there will be some smallest length scale if things get stabilized, right? And that you might sort of identify that with the grain size or something.
Well, yeah, if you look at the experiment picture, it looks more or less smooth in some part, but some heard about it, you see the cusp. And then I thought, well, that's the length scale of the grain. It's very small.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we may discuss that. Okay, anyway, the set of equation we tried to simulate is something like this, with something like this. Density phase field equation and granular density equation continuity. And with this set of equation, we have some function, constant dependent on the grain density, and all B and A should be this decreasing function, and D, diffusion constant, should be finite only within the intervals. So the simplest simulation we performed is the two fields. And initially, B is a density field of the grain, and the initial distribution is uniform. We assume uniform some parameter B naught is 0.5. And we set some interface with sinusoidal curve and see what happened. So as the interface, water interface move, the grain is collected in somewhere in this part, and then the V field, in the V field, some pattern appears. In this case, it's just directional. So you have three of lines. Just a very simple simulation. So it's a V view.
Dense
granular density view.
Okay, so we have three streaks of granular.
So because it's because we put the wavy structure.
I mean, the thing that's driving this is the fact that the granules have trouble migrating.
The velocity goes down when you get too many of the grains.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the granules tend to condense locally into dense regions from which further evaporation is hindered.
Yeah. But I'm afraid if you would admit diffusion not only in the dense regions but everywhere.
No, it's only
starts to dissolve again.
Huh? Only so one way you can do is that you introduce non-linear diffusion, but we introduce very simple linear diffusion, so we could introduce a nonlinear diffusion, but we didn't.
But this is if we take the logic a bit. I mean, if you would say that the diffusion is depends on density, but maybe in decaying function of density.
It's a linear diffusion.
You use diffusion only in the region in the interface, in the vicinity of the interfaces. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would use diffusion everywhere.
Then the pattern will wash away. And in the dry region, there physically no diffusion because it's dry. Nothing can move.
Is coupled to the concentration.
No. Diffusion was coupled to the density.
Diffusion in B field.
Only to you. Okay.
It's a diffusion in here.
Yeah, but it depends only on you.
The diffusion constant in the boundary and interface field.
I mean, I've been wondering, I've been sitting here, you know, I kind of didn't understand the problems. I've been wondering what the type of problem this is. I think it's really a reactive flow kind of problem. Well, it's similar to there's an instability of porous material or any material when you inject something that destroys the material then causes it to reprecipitate elsewhere, which is the wormholing instability. So fundamentally, this is a variety of a wormholing.
Well, I didn't discuss very. I think I should discuss the similarity between the Sackmann theorem and crystal, the Sackmann theorem and Mayr-Schell instability, because it
It's not quite like that because of the fact that you have another material balance, which is the material balance of the granular medium, which basically can only move a certain distance. It's not as mobile as the water.
Yeah. In submaterial instability, the diffusion constant is out. It's a submaterial instability. Marine Sea Kayak instability, this equation should be diffusion equation for temperature.
Right.
The diffusion constant of temperature is finite.
Right.
And the submaterial instability, people usually use an infinite diffusion constant.
Right.
In this case, if you assume zero diffusion constant here, not here, then the material accumulates.
Right.
So in that sense,
the material accumulates because its density becomes large enough, it basically becomes immobile. So that's why these patterns look like wormholing patterns and not like Softman Taylor.
Right. But this model, I think the different limit of the Softman Taylor Marine Sea Kayak instability there.
So anyway.
In the previous picture, the dry region is now to the left.
This is a dry region,
yes.
And the wet region, and it's a B field, but the U field boundary is somewhere else.
Again, we have these streaks which are in the dry region.
Yeah.
Right? They're sort of left behind by the front.
Yellow is high density particles.
But granular density.
Yeah. Yeah, yellow is the high density.
So, high density. There is a low density, so you don't see much difference. But as the boundary moves, it's accumulated in this region, and then.
And there is no fluid in that region anymore.
In this region?
I mean, what in these streaks? These streaks are.
After it's dried.
The new front has passed, right?
So U is zero for
this. Yeah.
Yeah, except the point is that inside, consider a region that's where you've accumulated granular particles. Now it has a tortuosity, so the evaporation tortuosity. Well, in a porous medium, evaporation out of a porous medium is going to be slower,
because
of the fact, the geometric effect that you have to go around all the particles. So the evaporation out of that is going to be slower, and it's going to be somewhat hindered, which is why at intermediate time scales, the regions of large density of particles are also characteristically the regions that are left behind where there's still fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, of course, you can evaporate out those as well.
In this oversimplified model, it's dry up completely, so you need something more in this model.
How does the wavelengths of your stripes depend on initial conditions?
Yeah, that's why I'm going.
And
so we did several simulations for different widths with one wavelength perturbation. And if you use the width is too small, then even if you have a wavy initial wavelength interface, then it gets straight.
What are the boundaries?
How can the flat interface be stable? Does it just stop moving once it's got to a certain density?
Well, it's an overflow. It's because in this model, sweeping is not complete, so it's overflowing. So if you assume there's nothing left, then it's stuck.
And if you make the channel more wide, do you get two stripes then, independent of initial conditions?
If you have a and then even if you start the single wavelength initial condition, it's nucleate. So, but it's time consuming. It takes some time to nucleate. But you can see it. So different widths and different initial.
The length scale of the fingers is set by some kind of Dan Kober number.
I don't know,
Dampkohler number is, it expresses, it's a reaction rate at a surface versus a diffusion, basically. Or so if you think about, you know, where could you get a length scale in your problem? You have some kind of chemical potential that drives evaporation, and there's a kinetics at the surface that comes from that, and then there's a diffusion constant for the liquid as well, in the or for the vapor as well. So you can make something with dimensions of length out of those.
This length scale turned out to set set by some diffusion constant we introduce in the interface only. We introduce the diffusion in the interface that come into this problem, but
that's needed to get a finite length scale.
Physically, I mean, that might be, if you look at your patterns of the experiment, and physically that might be the thing that sets the finger width from the experiment.
In the original experiment, it's not like that. So that nature was a physical aspect of this problem, this model. So if you like to analyze this model particularly, then that kind of thing is set by the length scale set by that kind of mechanism. But the original experiment, I don't think that set length scale.
For clarity, it's not actually the Dampkohler number, so I don't leave you with a misimpression, is a surface kinetics divided by a velocity. So it's actually Dampkohler times a Planck number. That is the thing that might control one scale with.
So if you do it larger sample with a very short disturbance, in initial disturbance, you see the length scale is set by the system itself, and then you have rather
different experiments.
If you do experiment with a wider gap, not the experiment I showed originally, but if you the gap, if you make the gap wider, then something similar, because there's no pinning in that case. So anyway, this is the first model we developed, and I don't know. I just discuss shortly the rest of those. And the problem with the phase field model is the simulation model, but it's an interface is driven by local dynamics, locally determined. It's a partial differential equation. But if you look at experiment, the interface motion is set by global, because the driving force is the pressure gap in the water region and the dry region. So, and evaporation occurs all over the interface. Not the local, it evaporates everywhere. And then the part of the interface that move is not the most actively evaporated, but it's the weakest point. The driving force is uniform and moving weakest point. So the dynamics looks global. And the pinning effect we didn't include. We could include in the phase field model, but we didn't include. It seems to be important. So we developed the model based on invasion population. I don't know everyone is familiar with invasion population, but briefly view the invasion population is a model that one of the type of percolation model, and the lowest flow is invaded, initially occupied, and each lattice site you assign random number. The random number is just random, any distribution. And the strength of the largest size is set by the random number, and then you at each step you occupy the weakest point and weakest point nearby weakest point, and then you invade somewhere and then something like that. That that process is called invasion calculation, and it's one of the methods to produce a critical cluster by without any fine-tuning parameter. So we model the sweeping dynamics using this invasion population. The random number is considered to be granular quantity or density at each site. Then invasion process is regarded as a drying process. And site strength is it's correspond to resistance against drying, and something is closely related to granular quantity. So sweeping is a redistribution granular at drying site, and leftover grain density is grain site is the site. If the site accumulates the grain beyond the threshold, that grain will not be redistributed upon drying. And so that makes a pattern behind drying. And surface tension in this context is a slightly different role. The surface tension that makes driving sweeping. Because if you depend on some wet region and something wet and dry, these parts are driven by surface tension also, so it's easier to dry. So then, if this is a modified invasion power pressure model. So if you advance, the nearby number is increased. So if you look very closely, you see something different. So sweeping dynamics. So the model parameter in this simple model is that character initial granular distribution and the width and some position or upper limit in this case, and the threshold of the sweeping, and the strength surface tension we said before to one. Then the pattern you can see looks more like as you change the granular initial granular density, you see something more like than before or not something. But there are some difference.
It looks a little bit more like labyrinth and a little bit less than grid in terms of the pattern.
Yeah. So these two models, phase field model and the invasion power pressure model, we put different emphasis on the same aspect, same experiment. So anyway, since I won't want to discuss the boundary dynamics anymore. So anyway, the short summary of my short talk is that we analyze the sweeping dynamics. So for sweeping, that was a compressed pattern during the drying process of water granular mixture. And interface instability is sweeping dynamics is a close summary of Sackmann-Taylor instability or Wien-Scarp instability. And we develop three types of model, but the last one I didn't discuss. Just for
but, I mean, if you take the comment by Thomas seriously, I mean that you consider the system as a reaction diffusion system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with two species, one may diffuse, and the other one is fixed to its place.
then you can find, and actually use this to find Turing instabilities. And these Turing instabilities, in fact, look very close to what you have shown in the experiments.
Okay. The reason why I don't regard this, I didn't regard this phenomenon as reaction diffusion, is nothing actually reacts. You know, the one thing is just retreating, and the other field is just sweeping. There's no generation of the material. There's a conserved quantity. So you may regard this, you may be able to model the system with reaction based on reaction.
Well, is that true? Because the actual transport of the vapor isn't playing much of a role in this process. This is a pretty slow process, and so the transport of the vapor is probably way outside everything else. So what that means is that you have a diffusion process for the grains plus a reaction process for the vapor, because essentially the vapor is being destroyed.
The vapor equation wasn't conserved. Your
U-field
equation was not conserved.
Not conserved.
So maybe Thorsten's onto something. You can think of it as reaction being that at the surface, there's a reaction that destroys water, mm-hmm. plus diffusion, which is diffusion of the grains. And then the dimensionless combination that I was talking about before does not involve the diffusion constant of the vapor, because vapor's gone. It involves the diffusion constant of the grains.
So I don't know if you should call the reaction for the vaporing process, but the evaporation, physical evaporation process doesn't play much role in this pattern forming. It just makes the volume shrink. And the interface plays a role.
Right, but it gives you an overall time scale, which you compare with the diffusion constant of the grains.
Well, the diffusion constant, essentially zero. And there may be, you may think of some nonlinear diffusion. The grain accumulate too much, then it's diffused. But basically, grain doesn't diffuse. It just accumulates.
They're affected by or they're pushed by the boundary, and they stop. But what it looks like for the initial experiment is, you know, the front propagates, giving a circular arc until it's accumulated so many particles it stops, and any front propagation like that will give you these lobes and clefts that you're seeing, and then the radius of the lobes is just set by the distance to which it reaches, you know, a density over which it can't push the grains anymore. Yeah, and you had a close-up picture. There's a much closer picture. Yeah, like this. So this is, it's like it bursts out at some point and it's spreading out on a smooth arc, and it's just so. And the way these points, so any
after,
kind of kinematic process
after
like that.
After motion
is
very intermittent. You know, it's some invasion
exactly,
process.
So it comes out until it's reached.
So it's more like invasion population picture. It's evaporation takes place all over, and then the volume shrink is taken over by localized. Advances, so. Yes.
Could you please go back one transparency? Yeah, this one. The patterns look very homogeneous. Well, there's no center, no effect on the boundaries visible in this picture.
No.
But if you look to the physical effect, a physical process which takes place, it means the water in the middle has to go out.
Yeah, it has to take a long way. You know, this part has to travel a long way.
Distance between your plates is only 30 micrometers. Yeah. This is a strong hint that the diffusion of the vapor, or the motion of the vapor, is not a determining time scale.
Not a determining time scale. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean the. I'm sorry, I still don't understand what sets the limit for these fingers.
Is the distance the front has to...
Yeah, basically, if you look at...
In that distance, it accumulates 70 particles.
Fine, but I don't understand. I mean, tell me what there are
experimentally.
There are transport coefficients for the grains, and for the vapor. There's also a surface tension. What combination of those numbers, there's also an evaporation rate. What combination of those numbers gives me the width of those fingers?
It's the balance between the force needed to move a certain density of grains and the surface tension. And so once, once it swept enough particles on the surface tension.
And the experimenter does transport versus capillary.
Experimental, you can change the,
not transport, but I mean, the, what blocks the grains is presumably friction, eventually.
Experimental, if you change the gap, it change the length scale.
Yeah, it's
But it's also a question, which radius of curvature is a relevant one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the one in the D direction or the one in the transverse direction. And this one is sort of a border D, and the other.
It's very, in this experiment, it's very small. It's 30 or 40.
So these radii of curvature that we see in the picture are much bigger than D, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think that the motion of the vapor has any effect to the experiment. I think it's completely out. If it would have an effect, then you would see a certain
Is the thickness of the fingers D? I'm looking at there? It's a scale D?
You mean?
Yeah.
It's much smaller than
the white is the particles.
My question is if I did, what is, you know, you probably said this and I just wasn't paying attention. This distance, how big is this distance?
A fraction of a millimeter, I think.
It's like 100 microns.
Maybe.
And D is about 30 microns?
Yeah, 30 would be.
So it's about three to 10 times the thickness.
So this is a couple of centimeters.
No, but he just said that if it increases the thickness, the pattern width increases.
So it might be a combination of that and one of these other light scales that you get out of the kinetics.
The business is proportional. Okay, so let's thank the speaker.